Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Some big news dropped this morning.
After 5 decades in the state legislature, Mike Madigan finally decides he's going to call it quits today. The legendary political figure announcing that he will be resigning as a state representative effective at the end of this month.
That's right. After the recent loss of his speakership and with continued questions about his involvement in the ComEd bribery scandal, the 78-year-old Democratic power player is calling it quits. In an email, Madigan thanked his family and highlighted what he sees as his chief accomplishments: raising the minimum wage, legalizing same-sex marriage, and protecting workers' rights. In a few minutes, we'll get reaction from 2 state reps, a Republican and a Democrat. But first, WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney joins us. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Sasha Ann, how are you?
Doing well. Big news, Dave. What's running through your mind right now? Did you see it coming?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody kind of had this general sense that Madigan's announcement was going to happen eventually. But I have to say that there is just sort of a jolting sense that you get that it really finally happened. I mean, this is a man who has been around Springfield since he took office in 1971. I mean, I was in first grade then, and he had a hand in shaping our state constitution even before that.
Wow.
You know, he served under, 9 governors and just he's, you know, multiple mayors. He's really kind of almost like the woodwork in the Capitol. You just, every time you go in that building, you expect to see him there and feel his presence. And knowing that that's not there in any shape now, that's a massive reordering of the political power structure in Illinois that we're seeing unfold.
So we might have seen it coming, Dave, but do we know what prompted Representative Madigan to make this announcement today, one day after the governor delivered his State of the State address?
You know, I don't know that there's a direct relationship to the timing of the governor's budget speech and State of the State, but I do think that the reality is that he's already made his mind to kind of disengage. When he decided last month not to seek a 19th term because support had faltered because of the ComEd investigation, we knew that disengagement probably was going to continue in some way. There's a likelihood that lawmakers come back to Springfield, you know, as early as mid-March. And I think, you know, his preference would be to have somebody in place who can be in Springfield casting votes for his district when that time comes. So I think that comes into play here. And of course, there's always the ever-present question about what's next in the ComEd investigation. Madigan hasn't been charged, but there's a feeling in the air, I think you could say, that he's clearly a focus of this investigation. And so what happens next is anyone's guess.
His power has been on the decline for a few years now, largely but not entirely due to that ComEd bribery scandal that I mentioned. Remind us, Dave, what we did learn about Madigan and his associates as part of that scandal.
You know, there's just been a succession of these kind of seismic events surrounding Madigan dating back to last summer. I mean, it was back in July when ComEd and the U.S. Attorney's Office, John Lausch, released this 38-page court filing in which ComEd acknowledged that they had engaged in a long-running bribery effort in Springfield to advance their legislative interests. And it was all built around trying to curry favor with the speaker. They acknowledged in this filing that they had spent about, I think it was a little more than $1.3 million, to hire Madigan associates, people who were in his political organization, in no-work utility jobs and basically no-work utility contracts. And it was all, as I mentioned, an effort to try to win influence with the speaker. Madigan, for his part, said, yeah, I did go to bat for some of these people. I was hoping that ComEd would hire them. What's wrong with seeking a job for a supporter? But he has stressed that he knew nothing at all about this being part of some strategy by the utility company to bribe him. That's really at the heart of all of this, that document, he was identified as public official A, I believe it was 72 times. So, you know, it was clear he's been an object of the Fed's attention since last summer.
Madigan was top dog in Springfield for many, many years. And you've covered him so closely for decades, Dave. Tell us more about what he's like. And I'm wondering if earlier in your career, if you could have ever imagined this scenario that's played out in this past month here.
I mean, I think a lot of people sort of envisioned him leaving office on a stretcher, you know, in the tradition of Richard J. Daley, you know, who was his political mentor. But he had the nickname Velvet Hammer, which one of my old colleagues at the Sun-Times, I think, coined back in the 70s, because he carried such force, but yet could kind of like just do it, you know, in such a deft way that there was polish to it. He was very disciplined. Early in his career as speaker, I mean, it was sort of always difficult to know for sure what his true ideology was. It's been said that, you know, really his kind of driving ideology in all of those years when he held the gavel was just basically maintaining the majority in the Illinois House. And he mm-hmm. did that for 36 out of 38 years. And that, you know, he became speaker in 1983, longest tenured speaker in American history at any state house or the U.S. House of Representatives. People who say that they saw this coming, I think there are a few of them, you know, before all of this happened with ComEd. There had been a series of things that had kind of rocked his organization, if you recall. I mean, there were Me Too issues. Elena Hampton, one of his former aides, was driven out in a sexual harassment scandal. Before that, you know, he had a patronage scandal at Metra that was embarrassing for him. And it almost seemed that there was sort of like this kind of erosion of the Madigan granite-like presence, so that it just kept kind of chipping away a little bit.
Yeah.
But you never had a sense that it was going to just completely crack up as it has the last month or so.
This WBEZ state politics reporter, Dave McKinney, he's going to be sticking with us as we continue to process this very big news out of Springfield today. In the meantime, I do want to bring in Illinois State Representative Tom Demmer. The Dixon Republican is the Illinois House Deputy Minority Leader. Representative Demmer, welcome to Reset.
Thanks very much.
We had planned to speak with you about Governor J.B. Pritzker's State of the State address, and we will in just a moment, Representative. First, I want to get your reaction to Mike Madigan's announcement that he's going to resign in about 10 days here.
Well, it's certainly a monumental political story in Illinois. You know, there's not many folks who have had an impact on Illinois politics for over a half century. So this is a really significant development today. Although, in some ways it sort of feels like the inevitable sequel that follows from an equally significant story earlier in January, where for the first time in decades, the Illinois House elected someone other than Mike Madigan to be Speaker.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times I think you see somebody who's especially has been in a leadership position like that for so long, once they're no longer in that top spot, a resignation from the chamber usually follows.
Many Democrats would say, despite that ComEd scandal, Madigan served the people of Illinois well, and that he was a public servant who got things done. What is your assessment of his impact on the state?
Well, you know, I think anybody who's been around over that long period of time can point to various things that they had involvement in and were the result of. But I think we should be careful to not say that the ends justify the means here. Speaker Madigan has also been the subject of a number of investigations for questionably legal and unethical practices over the course of decades. And, you know, to point to simply the what he would say is the highlights of the career and ignore the other side, I think does a disservice to the people of Illinois. There were certainly a number of problems that the speaker was directly involved in as well, both from the functioning of the House of Representatives as a, you know, transparent and collaborative body, as well as things that happened on the political side or sort of under the table, and led to, you know, I think a reputation of dealing in a way that wasn't exactly above board.
Right. Well, I do want to spend a few minutes getting your thoughts on Governor Pritzker's State of the State address, which he delivered just a day ago. Here's a bit of that. Let's listen.
The general funds budget I present for fiscal year 2022 spends $1.8 billion less than fiscal year 2021. It reflects $400 million in additional cuts to appropriations, a hiring freeze, flat operational spending, full required pension payments, and the closure of unaffordable corporate loopholes.
What did you take away from that address yesterday?
A large focus of the governor's speech and the way that he makes his budget work is by closing what he calls to be corporate loopholes, almost a $1 billion impact there.
Yeah.
These corporate loopholes are, for example, a private school scholarship program for low-income families. He's calling that a corporate loophole. It's not a corporate loophole. I mean, this is a program that was put into place with bipartisan support. I mean, even just last month, as the Legislative Black Caucus was considering bills, they proposed increasing the size and scope of that scholarship program. Now he's calling to cut in half. That's not a corporate loophole. These other proposals, you know, several of them are items that we negotiated during the passage of the Capitol bill in the governor's first year in office. Democrats in the legislature supported those. The governor Pritzker himself signed them into law, and now he's turning on them and calling them corporate loopholes and saying that, you know, we need to raise taxes on businesses across Illinois who have, frankly, borne a significant burden during the COVID closures and changes. I think that's a very short-sighted path and one that, frankly, takes away some of the things that were helping to make Illinois more competitive with states around us. That's something that, you know, we've been focusing on for several years, is how can we spur economic development? How can we attract new jobs into Illinois? And reverse some of the losses that we've been seeing.
As I mentioned earlier, Governor Pritzker called out Republicans yesterday.
2 months ago, I asked Republicans in the General Assembly for their proposals to close this year's budget deficit. I was met with silence.
He said he asked Republicans for ideas to balance the budget 2 months ago and got nothing. What budget ideas or suggestions do you and your colleagues have?
Well, first, we've said that we need to have appropriations committee meetings. You know, you can't put together a state budget without conversation, collaboration, and involvement with the agency directors and department heads who are carrying out these multi-billion dollar budgets across state government. The governor has demonstrated that, you know, he wants to send a message that he's, watching spending, but then none of these suggestions have ever been shared and ever come to fruition. Yeah. I think that's an issue. We need to sit down with these department heads and say, what did you identify in response to this? What are the options? What are the impacts that it would have on your department? And I think through a collaborative process like that is how we can put together a reasonable budget.
That's Illinois House Deputy Minority Leader Tom Demmer, Republican from Dixon. Representative, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Still with us is WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney. Dave, let's get back to former Speaker Mike Madigan. Do we know what's next for him and what's next for his seat?
Well, Sasha Ann, I mean, we know that he's planning to retain the chairmanship of the state Democratic Party. That is a term that runs through next year. It's a little unclear to me how that's going to work. There's a likelihood, I guess, we haven't heard for sure what Governor Pritzker's plans for reelection are, but, you know, he could be on the ballot. Tammy Duckworth is on the ballot for reelection, and then the whole cast of statewide characters. And what we've seen Republicans do, of course, in the last four or five election cycles, and the last one in particular, they've really held Madigan up as a point to just, you know, feature in their advertisements and such. And so I think any time that Madigan can be used by the Republicans, are going to do it. And so what do Democrats really want there?
Yeah.
That there's, of course, in his legislative district, there's a question about who replaces him. That's a district on the southwest side near Midway Airport that has, you know, over the last few decades has increasingly become more diverse. There is a growing Latino population there, mm-hmm. growing Muslim population. And so I think, you know, there's a bit of a tug of war there potentially about who replaces him, but Madigan will have, have basically the say. And they come back to Springfield, I think, in mid-March. So I'd expect to have that ironed out before then.
Well, Dave, let's hear from Madigan's own party. Joining us now is State Representative LaShawn Ford. His district includes parts of Chicago's west side and western suburbs. Representative Ford, welcome back to Reset.
Thank you for having me on Reset.
What's your reaction to the news about Mike Madigan?
Well, you know, we knew that the day would come that Mike Madigan would resign. And today he announced it. So, you know, all things come to an end. So it's not shocking to me that he resigned after he wasn't able to maintain the speakership.
Well, over the summer, you stepped up to defend him. You know, he was still speaker then, and lawmakers from both sides were calling for his resignation. Why did you back him then?
When you're in politics, you have to make sure that you sort of play your cards right. And I think that the loyalty was repaid because we now have Speaker Welch and Speaker Madigan help spearhead the first black speaker of the House in Illinois. We supported Madigan, and you don't just jump ship because people are going through something. There's a process, and the process worked.
Do you think his absence will give Democrats in Springfield more leeway to legislate creatively and perhaps get bipartisan bills passed?
There will be more. There will be a change. But one of the things that you know when you have a person with experience, they've seen a lot of pitfalls, and that's why rules were put in place to avoid repeating the pitfalls. There will be changes, and there will be challenges as we move forward. But I do believe that with our new speaker, Welch, he's prepared, and I do think that more bills will be let out of rules because we voted on that, and every bill will now see a hearing, and people should be happy that that's going to happen. But I think that it's clear that Mike Madigan's tenure had come full circle, and he realized that as well, because he didn't get what you call defeated. He withdrew his nomination as a candidate for the speaker, and he opened up and supported Representative Welch to be the Speaker of the House.
Well, Representative, you say all things come to an end. So what do you think Mike Madigan's legacy is going to be? And how deep a stain do you think that the ComEd bribery scandal will leave on it?
Well, anytime you have a situation where there's negative press, it's going to always be there. And take it from me, I know. But one thing's for sure, you can't take away, as an African American, I would say that we've had our challenges with the unions. But the truth about Mike Madigan's tenure, he has made Illinois a strong union state. And he has made sure that it remained blue for Illinois. And I think that his legacy will be that he maintained a strong Democrat state, and he stood strong for Democratic principles.
That's Democratic State Representative LaShawn Ford. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let me pivot back to WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney. Dave, you're still with us. Tell us, is it even possible, you heard me asking the representative there about Madigan's legacy. Can we talk about legacy before we actually get a final conclusion to the ComEd scandal?
Well, I mean, that's certainly the capstone on his career. And if he, you know, if he somehow evades being charged in all of this, I think, you know, that certainly creates a different cast on his career than if he gets indicted and, you know, if there's a trial. I think that, you know, I think that there has been, as Representative, you know, Ford talked about, you know, that stain, that bad press. I mean, whatever you want to call it. That now is kind of a defining thing. When we hear Mike Madigan's name, we think about some of these tawdry allegations against him surrounding bribery, surrounding, you know, the high cost of our utility bills, I mean, that being pinned on him somewhat because of what ComEd was able to do.
Yeah.
So I do think that we have to see the resolution of the ComEd case before we know really what that legacy is.
And briefly, what is next in that scandal case?
There are cases pending right now. I mean, the former CEO and president of ComEd, Ann Promajori, Madigan's one of his closest advisors, Michael McLean, and a couple of others are under indictment right now. And their cases are still in the federal court system, pushed off until the spring. We don't have a trial date set for those. I do think that there has to be some kind of sense as to, is Madigan going to be charged? And I think that's the great unknown question right now around town as people kind of watch the way the feds are moving on ComEd.
Well, I mentioned Madigan emailed his statement of resignation. 30 seconds, Dave, tell us, what do you think your assessment on him is? Biggest wins and biggest losses?
Biggest wins. I mean, the state has changed radically over the years. I mean, you know, gay marriage, the abolition of the death penalty. You know, you drive along Lakeshore Drive and see a renovated Soldier Field, or along the Dan Ryan, you see the Guaranteed Rate Field. Those all bear Mike Madigan's imprint. On the defeat side, you know, again, I think, you know, having the Me Too problems in his political organization, that really was sort of the first crack in his power, Elena Hampton and such. And it really kind of created a toxic feel to that political organization. And so I think that, you know, that counts as a loss and a stain, as does what we know so far about ComEd.
Well, we could dissect this story all day, and we actually will in the coming days, but we're going to stop there for now. As always, thank you so much for sharing your expertise. WBEZ's Dave McKinney.
Thanks much.
And that's today's Reset. For deep dives into the news and stories from people working to make Chicago a great place to live, or for conversations about the arts, we've got it all for you here at Reset. Just make sure you're subscribed and tell a friend. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.